Joining us on the telephone to talk about the report is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I guess it's afternoon. Morning somewhere, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Looks like the soybeans took the brunt of this today.
Well, the ending estimate versus what the trade expected, just a little bit higher. When you kind of break it down, they came in and raised imports by 5 million bushels, lowered the crushing, raised the exports, 145 million bushel, with the idea that maybe over time and through here that could get a little bit smaller. The upper end of the price range, they notched it up a little bit. Last month, the trade price range was $11.95 to $13.45. We bumped that up to $12.20 to $13.70. So recognizing this price rally in here, raising those price expectations some. But the southern hemisphere is maybe a little disappointing. From the standpoint, they only lowered the Brazilian bean crop to 88.5 million metric tons versus 90 last month. They didn't even change the Argentine bean production. And when you look at the world numbers, the world ending stocks, basically down about 2.5 million metric tons. So overall, ample supplies. With the bullishness we've seen in the bean market since February, we're seeing some long liquidation and probably be confirmed by a smaller open interest number tomorrow.
So the number's clearly not bullish for the marketplace and the soybeans. I suppose last week's low, though, still a key point to keep an eye on if we can keep above that for the bulls?
From the long-term charts, yes, correct. Last week's high, last week's low is going to be watched real close. I'm sure there's some sell stops just under those lows. In the May futures contract particularly, the low was 14.02, psychological support at $14. So we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know necessarily if we'll go down through it here today, but if we consolidate, then go down through it, it'd be a little bit more significant to the technicians.
In the U.S., the ending stocks were down by 5 million bushels, not a whole lot of there. But I suppose when we turn to the world numbers, we see that world-ending stocks jumping from 156.27 to 158.47, and that would have to offset the U.S. numbers, I would think, if not more.
Well, on the beans.
On the corn?
On the corn, yeah. We're looking at basically a slight raise on the ending stocks worldwide. The U.S. numbers, virtually unchanged. Chinese numbers, about unchanged. And even the South America, they left the corn numbers unchanged, especially with concerns about that winter corn crop. Maybe having a little concern there, not just yet. So when you look at the overall corn numbers, 1, 4, 5, 6 here in the U.S. is just ample to get by with. We'll see how these numbers unfold here. Corn exports particularly, when you look at what's been sold and what's been shipped, with the shipments not quite up to expectations as compared to the beans, they came in and raised those exports, feeling those exports will come to light as those shipments pick up here as we move into this spring.
And I would think, like soybeans, we would look at last week's low on the corn. 471.25 is a key point to keep an eye on.
Yeah, correct. From a longer term spot there, they'll watch those weekly price ranges to see if we exceed those. Odds are we'll probably consolidate here for a week or so and see if we continue the uptrend or break below those previous week's lows.
Anyway, there was nothing very bearish in the report regarding livestock today, evidently, especially in the hogs.
Well, that's yet to come. As we move down the road here on numbers, there's ideas that production or numbers can be down as much as 5 to 20% as we move into this summer due to the rapid spread of the virus here this winter. USDA was kind of optimistic on pork consumption. Mm-hmm. Pork consumption per capita actually went up, along with poultry, at the expense of the beef side of the equation. So as we move down the road in here, we'll have to watch the numbers. We'll have to watch weight. And also, too, we'll have to watch the export side of the equation as we've become real popular meat supplier to different countries throughout the world.
Dave. And we're also going to have to watch our own retail because at the retail level, pork is still a value, at least when compared with beef.
Yeah, when you look at right now, as time goes on here, I hope pork chop does not become more expensive than a ribeye. But when you look at the relationship between beef and pork, the trade's been, loading up on the long hog side and the short cattle side, looking for that to narrow up. When you convert the lean price to the old cash price, you know, we're talking $90 cash hogs, and that's what steers used to trade back in the day when we had some pretty good demand. You know, demand's a lot stronger now. That's very lofty levels.
So if you're a hedger that hasn't done money marketing, what do you take away from this report?
Well, on the grains, that's a good question. On the grains, we've been a scale-up seller. We've basically been encouraging guys to put price floors in the marketplace. So, if we see like we just saw here over the last couple of weeks, you could, have the cash grain to sell higher on these up moves. So we'll see how things unfold in through here. I don't necessarily think the market's just over yet, but it's going to encourage guys to get a little bit more aggressive on some price rebounds. As far as old crop goes, we're hanging on to a little old corn, not much. Beans, we're pretty well sold out. Cashed a lot of those in. Got some replacements in the July on paper. The idea we do get some weather down the road, we could capture or regain a little bit in those deferred contracts as that July-November bean spread becomes even more popular as we get more into the growing season.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.